This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today we're going to talk about food. Yeah, one of our favorite subjects here on Intelligent Medicine because, well, that's where the rubber meets the road when it comes to healthy nutrition. Our guest is an innovator in this field. She's part of a movement towards healthier, clean foods that may be particularly suitable for people with food intolerances, allergies, people desirous of following the paleo diet, which I include myself among. She's Caitlin Smith. She's CEO of Simple Mills, which is a company that makes all manner of natural food products. So welcome to Intelligent Medicine. It's a pleasure having you on the program.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So, well, first of all, how did you get the idea behind Simple Mills? I think you started out with a different career orientation.
I did. I started out as a strategy and operations consultant, and while I was working in that career,
don't even try to describe what it is that you did, because whenever I talk to a millennial, which I guess I count you among, I can't for the life of me figure out what they do, but I'm sure you were gainfully employed at a high level.
Yes. I worked for Deloitte Consulting at the time. Mm-hmm. But I discovered I had joint pain, and one of my friends had somebody else who cleaned up her diet and her joint pain went away. And I thought that was such an interesting story, that I didn't see any harm in trying out cleaning up my diet for a couple of weeks just to see if it changed.
So it's kind of an epiphany, you know, because I think a lot of people never associate diet with this. They think, well, it's a matter of bad luck or heredity that they develop autoimmune problems, such as it was likely you were developing.
Yeah, exactly. It's traditionally people have thought about going to the doctor or getting a pill when autoimmune problems pop up. But I think more and more people are thinking about diet as it relates to their whole bodies versus just their digestive system.
Mm-hmm. Your friend's experience inspired you to explore diet modification. So what did you do?
Yeah, so at the time I basically went paleo. Mm-hmm. I took out a lot of the processed food, a lot of the sugar, a lot of the gluten and the dairy. But I think the most important thing there is just like really getting back to the basics of what people used to eat, which consisted of a lot more of vegetables and fresh food and things that you can pronounce and have vitamins and minerals versus a lot of carbs and sugar.
Mm-hmm. And so what was the net effect of that for you?
Well, not only did my joint pain went away, but I had a lot more energy. I stopped getting sick. My seasonal allergies went away. All of these things that I never thought were related to food changed.
And so that was a remarkable turnaround. Yeah, recently we talked to a couple of gals who wrote an autoimmune protocol cookbook. Who had a similar experience. There were young women who were experiencing, actually between them, I think they said they had 7 autoimmune disorders, including autoimmune thyroid problems, probably some collagen vascular lupus-like thing, which it sounded like you were auditioning for the part, but you didn't ever get it. Probably when you went to the doctor said, well, you know, there's nothing really wrong with you. It's it's maybe something that's developing.
Growing pains.
Yeah, we'll let you know when you have a full-blown disease, and then we can put you on powerful drugs. But in the meantime, you weren't feeling well.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so it was really that inspired me to start Simple Mills, to start this company that represented simple ingredient real food in those center aisles. Because as I looked around at the center aisles, they had a lot of ingredients I couldn't pronounce and was pretty certain my body couldn't recognize either. It had a lot of sugar, a lot of carbohydrates, but really not a lot of nutrition. And so I started Simple Mills with that in mind. We started out actually as a baking mix company, making baking mixes out of almond flour, which is just really fine ground almonds.
Which, by the way, is what I often recommend to. I have a lot of patients who have ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And when they're looking for, you know, they're on a grain-free diet, the specific carbohydrate diet, which I think you're probably familiar with, they are often looking for almond flour-based baked good substitutes because they can't eat crackers, they can't eat cookies, they can't eat bread, they can't have, virtually can't have dessert except for maybe some you know, stewed fruit. It gets pretty boring. It's tough to follow that diet for a long period of time.
Yeah. Well, and people are used to having easier solutions. A lot of Americans lead very busy lives that a lot of times don't involve cooking for every single meal or cooking every single meal from scratch.
Mm-hmm. So the need arose. So this sounds like a very modest undertaking at first. I mean, obviously, you know, you didn't have huge private equity funding. It wasn't like you were a division of General Mills. They didn't sign a contract with you to build you a $100 million plant. It sounds like a cottage industry at first.
Yeah, I developed the recipes in my kitchen. So probably went through 90 different recipes before I developed our first muffin mixes, which were our first products. And then our very first production facility where I made the first product was a commercial kitchen right outside of Atlanta where mixed everything in small batches and put it into stand-up pouches and then sold it to my local Whole Foods store.
Mm-hmm. And just like probably distributed to just a very few places. And how long ago was that?
That was about 3.5 years ago, so not long ago at all.
Wow. So tell us about the growth of the company. I mean, obviously, I mean, I see your products everywhere. They're in health food stores. They're available through a place where I shop frequently, which is Thrive Market. And I discovered them, and I love them. And then, coincidentally, I mean, I got a press release from your publicist, and I said, wow, I really like this stuff, so I think I'm going to interview this lady. So I was sold from the beginning. It wasn't like they had to convince me.
That's excellent. Yeah, the business has grown really quickly. So within about 3 months of launching the product, we became the best-selling muffin mixes on Amazon.
Wow.
They were
the number one natural muffins mix. Were you qualified or just the natural, like that category you dominated altogether?
That category on Amazon. That was pretty exciting. Today we're the number two largest natural baking mix company. That one is qualified natural.
Yes. Right.
Betty Crocker is unfortunately a little larger than us.
I would imagine.
And actually about a year ago we launched a line of almond flour crackers that are based in almond, sunflower seeds, and flax seeds. And in that category, we're actually already the number three largest natural cracker brand. So that's also grown really very quickly. And you alluded to the fact that we're available nationwide now. We're in about 7,500 stores. So everything from, like you said, Thrive Market, Amazon, to Whole Foods, Target, Acme, really kind of nationwide.
How did you accommodate this growth? I mean, obviously, 3.5 years is not a lot of time to ramp up from, you know, a home kitchen to a major production facility that has to fulfill literally thousands and thousands of orders every day.
Yeah, I think honestly, hard work and determination. It's a problem that I'm really, very passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I've been fortunate to find other people who are really passionate about it as well. And so when you look around our, like, kind of within our four walls, we employ 16 people now who mm-hmm. are all very passionate about our mission to improve the standards of what people are eating and the positive impact that can come from that. And so kind of having people who are determined against this this goal and this problem has really been a huge help in helping kind of move these big mountains.
So I have in front of me your Simple Mills cracked black pepper almond flour crackers. And, you know, they really have the texture of, you know, saltines. I mean, they're perfect. I made Manhattan clam chowder. It's one of my favorite dishes. I made that up the other day. And, you know, Manhattan clam chowder, it needs those little oysterettes, you know, but those things are made with wheat and God knows what. And so, you know, you crumble a couple of these crackers in there. I'm shaking it by the microphone, and it's really great. And then I also have just the fine ground sea salt ones. I guess that's a version of this without the peppers. And you have a whole lineup of different types of crackers with different flavor essences, right?
That's correct, yeah. We've got the almond flour crackers, which come in six different flavors. So like you said, sea salt, black pepper. We've got like a smoky cheddar barbecue, a normal.
That one would have a little dairy in it. That one would, you know, for the people who want to avoid the dairy.
That one would have dairy in it.
Yeah,
so that
okay.
one's not paleo-friendly.
Right.
And then we also have our rosemary and sea salt and our sun-dried tomato and basil, which is actually my personal favorite.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And then about a month ago, we actually came out with a line of sprouted seed crackers. So they're made with sprouted seeds instead of nuts. So it's a combination mm-hmm. of sunflower, flax, and chia. And the reason why we're really excited about this line is because they're sprouted, which actually increases the nutrient bioavailability and makes it a lot easier to absorb the vitamins and minerals and mm-hmm. proteins that are in the seeds.
My impression is that the when you use the sprouted seeds, it would be lower in starch, right? Because otherwise you're getting more starch, and starch is a culprit sometimes in digestive disorders. People on what might be called a low FODMAP diet may want mm-hmm. to avoid that. So what types of dieters gravitate towards these products? Obviously, people trying to follow a paleo program, because these are paleo compliant, right? Except for, you know, when you use a little bit of cheddar for flavoring. That would
That's
be one
correct,
constituency. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so certainly paleo, people who are looking to eat a whole food diet, who are people who are gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, mm-hmm. Our ingredient lists are really clean. So we like to be able to market our products to people who are really very diligent about the things that they are disciplined about the things that they eat, like myself. But then also people who are just looking for a better baking mix or a better cracker or a better cookie. Because kind of macro level, my vision with this brand is I really want to lift the standards of what people are eating. And as much as I would love it if everybody in the country went paleo and cleaned up their diets, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And you have to make it appealing. I mean, you have to, there's some degree of commercialization. I don't think everybody is going to cook, you know, vegetable stews, you know, from scratch or, you know, just have grass-fed lamb or venison. I think these products actually fill a need for people who are busy and want to comply with the diet and have something that's kind of a tasty adjunct. I was curious about, you know, so when you say it took a long time to figure this out, you know, what are some of the considerations when you're trying to knock off, say, a saltine cracker? You know, because in a way, these are sort of like holistic saltines. I mean, they have the crunch, the, you know, some of the flavor characteristics, although I think saltines taste bland and pasty by comparison. But, you know, you said you went through a lot of iterations. What are some of your trials and tribulations in making these things?
Goodness. there have been a lot of trials and tribulations. But I think the largest challenge for us and for me and research and development is how often we have to say no and say no to potential solutions because we do have such rigorous standards for what we'll put in our products. For example, we'll never put a gum or emulsifier in our product.
I'm going to ask you why. I mean, I know the answer, but I think, you know, probably there's a strong rationale for that. Why is it that that's particularly, and what are some of these things? These things, by the way, are all approved. They're used by even natural products, you know, just a given mouthfeel, certain flavor characteristics, or texture characteristics. And it's hard to make things without them, right?
Yeah. So gums and emulsifiers, for example, they're used to have things have a stable consistency, for example, like almond milk. So almond milk a lot of times has a lot of gums and emulsifiers in it so it doesn't separate. It's also used to keep things from breaking. So, for example, a cracker from breaking or to hold something together like a baked good. So to give it that spongy, light texture, some companies will use that in place of gluten. To get that same connectivity. Now, in terms of the way that we work as a brand, we work a little bit differently. So we look at the conventional solutions and say, well, but maybe there is a different way. And I think one of the most educational things for me in this process has been how often when you say no to a traditional solution, how often another door opens. You find another answer. And so it may not be quite as fast. You may have to test it a little bit more. But a lot of times
it's kind of like Edison with the light bulb. You know, he tried hundreds of different filaments, but he knew he was on the right track. You know, some would burn out too fast, some would be too dim, some would give off the wrong color, ingredients were too expensive to be economically feasible. Until finally you got the right idea for the filament for the light bulb. And, you know, that's the nature of invention. I guess you went through a process like that, too.
Yeah. It's not using the same exact solution that everybody else has used, but it's a different solution that we think results in a better product. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you asked why not gums.
Yeah, why not those products?
My perspective on gums, so you said it yourself, they're grass. They're generally recognized as safe. However, my personal perspective, which doesn't what have you, is that it's present in a lot of products. And because it's used to glue things together, I can't imagine it does a great thing for your digestive system.
Yeah, yeah.
And results in product probably staying in your digestive system a little longer than it should. And so I think in general, if you don't need to have it in there, then why have it in there?
And I'll share with you the scientific perspective on that, because it actually has come out recently that these emulsifiers have a harmful effect on the microbiome, the bacteria that inhabit our gastrointestinal tract. They alter it in ways that are negative that can contribute to what we term leaky gut syndrome, which I presume you heard about, since you probably were
Absolutely.
Suffering from that condition when you developed autoimmunity that was affecting your joints. And it may be that these emulsifiers, which emulsification means that you kind of separate out different parts of a mix, and I guess, you know, so that the oil mixes with the liquid or the water fraction. And when you do that to the intestinal mucus, you actually damage the mucus layer. And that may render it more vulnerable to attack by the bacteria in your intestinal tract, which the mucus protects against. So, I mean, there's a lot of evidence that these are bad things, although they're ubiquitous. They're, you know, if you look at virtually all prepared and packaged goods, processed foods, they're present. And even the natural food industry uses them because, you know, they don't have horrible chemical names. And they're, you know, readily available.
Yeah.
So,
True.
Yeah. So, okay, this is a good point at which to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. I got more questions for you. We want to also talk about the rest of your product lineup. Today we're talking with Caitlin Smith. She's CEO of Simple Mills. Caitlin, give us the website, please.
Yeah, you can find us at simplemills.com, and that's spelled S-I-M-P-L-E-M-I-L-L-S.
Okay. We got more to go on today's podcast, so stay with us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.